Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another interview for Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani, and this show is brought to you by Boost Mobile. Now, for those of you who are thinking about saving a few bucks in 2021, I've got a really great idea for you, and I couldn't believe this when I first saw it on the Boost website today. Their $40 SIM plan, their $40 prepaid plan, is now $15 for the next 3 recharges. So for new customers switching over to Boost Mobile, you can get 55 gigs of data per 28 days, including unlimited calls and text and unlimited international standard calls and text to 25 select destinations such as Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, the UK, the United States, Vietnam, France, Germany, Hong Kong. The list goes on. Tell me if you can ever find a greater deal, which uses the Telstra network from a company like this, $15 for the first 3 recharges, which is essentially going to get you through to March for $35? No. Do the maths. Maths calculator, 15, 15, $45. $45 for 3 months worth of craziness there. So do check it out. Head to boost.com.au and have a quick look and see where you can save some money in 2021. This is a very limited time offer, so it's worth jumping on this ASAP. Now, speaking of 2021, one thing that I'm going to recommend to a lot of people over the Christmas break, over the New Year break, while you're still on leave, start doing some cleanup. And one of the things I want you to start thinking about cleaning up is your usernames and passwords, your accounts, your settings, things like that. Now, one thing that I know we all have a bad habit of doing is signing up to different services and using the same username and the same password across the board. Now, that could be that your Facebook username and password is the same as your Netflix username and password, which is the same as your Amazon Prime username and password, and potentially the same as your bank. Now, the reason that this is a concern isn't that, oh, well, who cares if someone hacks my Facebook? It's that if someone hacks your Facebook, they know that you're likely to be someone who does use the same username and password. And that means that they then will try your Netflix account. And that means that they then will try your email or your bank. And these are things that you need to start paying attention to. And there's a service that's going to help you remember unique passwords that you use across the board. So that way you're using a unique password for every single service that you do sign up for. And it's a service called LastPass. I was introduced to this fairly recently, and I wanted to get somebody on the show to talk to us about password managers. For me, I get very nervous about password managers because it sounds like storing all of your passwords and personal private information in one central location, which is a prime honeypot for hackers. So that's why I had to talk to Lindsay Brown. He is the Vice President for Asia Pacific and Japan at LogMeIn, which is the owners of LastPass. And he was able to put me at ease and has made me a LastPass customer just on the conversation that we did have. So if you are somebody who manages a lot of passwords, if you've got a post-it note next to your desk that has anything confidential written down, or if you're somebody who even has a notes section in their phone where you store usernames and passwords, yes, I'm looking at you. This is something you need to be paying attention to. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Lindsay Brown, the Vice President for Asia Pacific and Japan at LogMeIn. Now, Lindsay, if we were at a barbecue and we just met, how would you describe LastPass to someone who had not heard of it before?
So LastPass is a very simple means by which you can organize your digital life. And that's especially true if you want to have a piece of software or a tool that allow you to remember your passwords, which as we go through this, I think you'll find is very, very important.
So Where do you think the need for LastPass came from? Was it an idea born from just somebody continually forgetting all their passwords for different services?
Look, I think that's probably a good place to think about it, because passwords over time have become increasingly important because we're spending much more time online. And if you look at some of the statistics, they start to become pretty scary, Jeff. So about 81% of breaches, and what that means is that hackers getting our passwords and doing nasty things with them are caused by weak or reused passwords. So as we've grown to know and love being online, doing our online shopping, working in social networks, doing work and school online, passwords have become more and more important for us. So making sure that they're secure is absolutely paramount these days.
And so with LastPass, I guess it is a single place where you can, you know, store your passwords. Tell me a little bit about how it works and, you know, for people who don't know exactly how the platform looks and things like that.
So it's a password manager and a tool that allows you to do the work of creating, remembering and filling in your passwords. It usually sits within your web browser, or otherwise you can also use it on your mobile phone. And what happens is LastPass really comes into the fore and you see it when you need to log into something. So whether that's a website and an app, otherwise it sits in the background and you don't really see it. But it just takes the burden away of having to remember your passwords all the time and makes things very simple and secure when you're going ahead and doing the things that you like to do online, whether that is your online shopping, social and so on.
So say, for example, you know, services like Netflix, for example, usually log in once and you never have to really think about what that username or password is again. Then I get a new TV, I need to set Netflix up on there and I go, oh, bugger, what was the username and password I used? I can then jump into LastPass and, you know, provided I've actually stored it there, I'd be able to uncover and view what the username and password was that I used for Netflix. Is that the idea?
Yeah, absolutely. It is a means by which you can use your passwords nice and easily and be able to access them, like you said, using Netflix or something like that. But it is more than just passwords as well. As we shop online, we know that there's different requirements for different websites and that can become overwhelming over time. I know personally when I'm doing my online shopping, it can feel quite burdensome when you go to a new website and once again you're prompted to join the website or create a new account. And so something like LastPass can really ease that because it's more than just making sure it can remember your passwords. It can store your digital records. So it can help store your credit card information, for instance, or your passport information and, you know, make your online profile nice and secure. So then it's easy to work across different websites.
And with services that we would use where you've got two-factor authentication, whether it's Facebook, your bank or something else, can LastPass also remember, you know, where that SMS or verification code will go, or is that a layer that is kept within, you know, say Facebook or whatever I'm trying to log into?
So LastPass is something which is separate from that. It's good at remembering your passwords. And so things like two-factor authentication that come from Facebook and your internet banking, they're security services which are provided by that. Nonetheless, something like your internet banking password is something that's really important. And you need to make sure that that is stored securely, because the problem that we're seeing, and I alluded to this before, is that people reuse their passwords a lot because it's easy to do. And because we see a lot of these breaches, what that means and the problem that it becomes is that if someone like a hacker gets access to your password and your passwords are reused, then you're really opening up your online world. Not only then can they get access to your banking, they can get access to your credit cards and all sorts of personal information. So two-factor authentication is important from the bank, but it's still much more important that you keep your passwords secure and managed by something like a password manager, because otherwise that first gate in, or those keys to the front door, so to speak, are easily given away if you don't have a means by which you have unique passwords across all your digital assets, websites, social, and so on. So it's important not only to use two-factor authentication through the service that might be provided, Facebook and so on, but then also make sure that you've got unique long passwords that are stored in something like a password manager.
It's a really good point. And I was also thinking about LastPass and, you know, people who maybe don't know who LastPass is or who they're owned by and things like that. Can you talk about what some of the risks are to people using LastPass? I mean, to me, the only one I'm really thinking is that it's forgetting that master password or actually logging into LastPass in the first place.
So, yeah, so there's a few risks when it comes to just using password managers in general. And what's important is to make sure that you're not just using a password manager to remember that same password. You need to make sure that you're generating unique passwords, secure passwords, and that they vary across your sites. So then it gets away from that issue of password reuse, which, as we said before, is the means by which hackers are getting in. In fact, it's such an important stat, Jeff. If you go to somewhere like scamwatch.gov.au, which is managed by the ACCC, you'll see that the main means by which these hackers are getting in is through fake emails or scam websites.
And that means that we really need to be sure that we have these unique passwords used within the password manager. So the tool is good in that you can get away from these threats because you can do things like what's called a security challenge within LastPass that goes ahead and looks at all the different passwords that you're using across all your websites, all your apps and so on, and lets you know if you're using duplicate passwords or if your passwords are weak and they're not up to scratch in terms of being strong enough to make sure you're protected online. So to remove those threats, you really need to make sure that your password manager is smart and really tests for the uniqueness and strength of the passwords that you're using.
That is a really smart feature, actually, of LastPass. And you mentioned around hackers too, because I think if you have a company like LastPass, where I am storing all of my usernames and passwords for services and important services that I use, mm-hmm. it would essentially be almost a fantastic honeypot for hackers, where if someone can get into my LastPass account, they can effectively get into all my accounts because they've then got access to that. I'm assuming that obviously you've got multiple layers of security as well, but is it safe to assume as well that you guys are constantly defending yourselves from cyber attacks as well?
Yeah, there's a few things to note when it comes to LastPass that's quite unique about how we go about managing and helping you store your passwords. The first, as you mentioned, is that the security, or what we call the encryption, needs to be really strong. So I'll get technical for a moment. We use something which is called AES 256-bit encryption with what's called a PBKDF2SHA-256 salted hash. Now, it sounds like a bit of a mouthful, but both those are the strongest standards that you can very much use to keep yourself secure online. So we want to make sure that we're absolutely using the strongest cloud security that's out there to keep your passwords secure. Perhaps what's even more important is that we don't, as a company, LastPass doesn't remember or store any of your passwords whatsoever. We use what's called local only encryption. And what that means is your data, your passwords, your online details are encrypted and decrypted at the device level. So that means that's at your computer or on your mobile phone or your tablet. So the data in your vault is kept secret even from us at LastPass. So there's no means by which we can ever get access to it. So LastPass is a means by which you, as by the name means, is that you've got a master password to access LastPass, and it's that master password which is your keys to the kingdom. So that master password is used to encrypt and decrypt that data, and so it's never sent to the LastPass servers and is never accessed by LastPass.
I love that. I love that. I think it's just that, excuse me, it's that element of confidence that people can then have knowing all of this as well, and especially if you were somebody who was into cybersecurity, all those acronyms you mentioned probably make a lot more sense to them, but otherwise it's just good reassurance. And you mentioned as well around multiple devices. And given that, you know, people carry around a smartphone, iPad, a computer and things like that, is the idea with LastPass that you can just install a LastPass app, for example, on your iPhone and you will have your usernames and passwords in there as well? Or is it just something you access through a computer or a browser?
Yeah, Jeff, it's both ways. So it's in the browser or on your devices. So if you're in your browser, LastPass has a browser extension and it works across all browsers. So it's really simple. You just install the extension into your favorite browser and then you can access what you call your password vault, which is something just comes up when you're logging into a website or whatever that might be. When it comes to your devices, it's a simple app which sits on your device. Again, that's your tablet or otherwise your mobile phone. The LastPass app, again, integrates nice and easily with your browser app that sits on those phone or tablet devices. And you don't really know it's there until you need to access something. So the experience on your phone is very much, I'm just about to jump onto Facebook, I click on the login button or I open up the app, and then LastPass will pop up. And it's really quite neat. It'll actually integrate with your thumbprint or otherwise your Face ID. So then you'll access the app really quickly. It'll automatically select and know that you're working in Facebook or that whatever that app might be. And then it'll autofill that username and password for you, and then you're away. So it really is quite seamless and just part of the flow of using your applications.
And I think this is something that listeners are probably starting to understand as much as I am now as well, that this isn't just an extra layer of security. You're actually almost adding a layer of convenience, because you don't even need to think about it. Once you get things set up like LastPass, then effectively it does the work for you in terms of inserting that username and password for you automatically.
It does. It makes life quite easy. And, you know, it can feel quite daunting. If you think about the average Australian, they've probably got about 80 apps or so on their mobile device or their tablet, and perhaps even that again when they're at work. And we know things are quite blurred these days when you work from home, so you are mixing work and business apps. And that really just exacerbates the problem we were talking about before in terms of password reuse. So in other words, a hacker gets access to something personal, they can also get access to your business apps as well. And so making sure that you've got a simple experience that's easy to use is really important, because then people will actually use and adopt the product. So even when you first start out with LastPass, for instance, it has some really neat ways in which it can gather those passwords for you and put them in the app. And then even as you go ahead and you surf the web and you decide to join a new website or you install a new app, LastPass will prompt you on the fly and say, do you want to add your new password? Or it will actually generate a new password for you as well. So you can add your websites nice and seamlessly and automatically.
And you touched on the workplace. And I think this is a really important one to talk about, because so many of us are working from home at the moment. And I've got personal tabs open on my browser, but I'm also connected to work, and I'm logging into work systems and things like that. And when I think about enterprise systems, a lot of workplaces have pretty convoluted implementations where you've got different usernames and passwords for different systems. Can LastPass integrate with those as well? Or is that a special layer that enterprises need to allow LastPass into?
It's a gap which we're really finding increasingly across government, education, and then a lot of financial institutions in terms of managing human behavior when it comes to accessing business applications. So currently about 70,000 businesses use LastPass, and the reason they use it is because of that problem before when I spoke about password reuse and so on.
Yeah.
Passwords are just simply the means these days in which people access their work applications and their personal applications. And so when you talk to a business and they start to understand the risk, and if you look at the statistics, so there's a very similar business website which is looked at by the Australian government, and they've been monitoring these breaches that happen in business over the past sort of 2 to 3 years. And again, the number one reason that businesses are getting breached is that passwords are being found by hackers. Again, they're typically logging in because of this password reuse issue. So it's quite prevalent across business as well. And so we need to make sure that not only we cover sort of the personal and business gaps, we also give what we call IT visibility. So the IT organization in business, visibility into password habits and how users are using those passwords. So then IT can make sure they're setting the right policies and controls so people are accessing their business applications in the right way. So in other words, are they using secure, unique passwords? Are they of the right length? And make sure that, you know, each business application is secured in a unique way and it's accessed in a unique way by the users. So it's a really important issue, and it's one which our businesses are still waking up to be quite frank. And so you would have seen perhaps even a recent article that came out through APRA that's talking about even more hefty fines they're going to be instilled on businesses if they're not securing that layer of what's going on with, hackers getting in. And so really important with work from home, as you probably can think of, Jeff, because it's not just one office now. If you've got a 500 employee organization, that's 500 offices ostensibly that you've got to secure now, and passwords are the way in. So it's even become more and more important with remote working.
Yeah, look, and I used to work on an IT help desk when I first started my career in IT, and I can tell you January is probably the biggest month for receiving calls around, I've forgotten my password, I can't log in, because everyone's come back from holidays, had too much of a good break, and has no idea how to get back into their computers. And it used to be just a regular thing. But if we had something like LastPass, as long as they remembered their master password, they may actually be able to log in without calling help desk. So I think corporations probably should be waking up to that, even for an efficiency point of view.
Yeah, it's a big one. We had a large financial institution that invested in LastPass just last year. They estimated over the course of a year that they're probably saving now something in the realm of about $60,000 a year just on the efficiency gains of password resets by using LastPass.
Spot on. And look, as a company that certainly knows a thing or two about passwords, what is the key to a good password that people should be thinking about?
It's interesting, right? I've seen demonstrations from people that have shown how weak passwords can be. You can think of the most complex password and it might be 9 to 10 characters long, have a mix of numerical, capital letters, you name it. And the means by which a hacker these days can generate and guess those passwords is really scary.
Wow.
So if you really want to think of what is a unique password, usually these days it has to be probably about 25 characters long and then a mix of alphanumeric, capitals, and so on. Good news is you can let LastPass do that for you, right? So you don't have to worry about it on that side. But of course, as you mentioned, right, it's like the keys to your front door. You don't want to give those away. So you need to make sure that your master password is very, very secure. The advice we give is probably a little bit unsuspected. What we recommend is that you use what's called a passphrase. The reason that you should use a passphrase is that passphrases are not easily guessed. Because when you think of a passphrase, you can think of something like a quote from your most favorite movie or otherwise something to do with your history or your family. But, you know, passphrases, they're easy to remember, but they can be very long. So it's easily for a passphrase to be 30 or so characters, and you can decide to mix up some of those characters with, you know, capitals and lowercase and so on. You may want to make a, you know, the letter O as a zero or something like that. But passphrase is so easy to remember. So it could be as simple as, I love going to do camping with my kids. Hmm. And just mixing that up is a really, really secure passphrase. And it's not easily guessed by these tools that the hackers have to be able to guess your passwords, because they're based on other algorithms in terms of, you know, getting these mix of letters and so on, which are more common in the way that people create their passwords these days. So passphrase, easy to remember and really secure.
That's a really good idea. And it's probably something that that we all need to talk about a bit more, is just changing that conversation from calling them passwords to calling them passphrases. Because if you change the actual name, then immediately you start to think about it differently. And as soon as you said passphrase, I'm thinking, yeah, that makes sense, because it's easier to remember a sentence rather than a word with six numbers on the end and things like that, because that makes so much more sense. And it's something I'll probably I'll be using that little tip as well. But you may have answered it already by saying passphrase, but I wanted to ask what you think the future of passwords is. I mean, we've had fingerprints, we've had facial recognition on devices. Do you think that there's another layer or level that we might get into in the future?
Yeah, definitely. I think what's important to understand is we hear these words of passwordless being bandied around, whether that's within business or otherwise personal. And, you know, the simple fact is that we'll always have passwords. Then they're behind the background, and so it's a matter of, you know, something else which is helping automate the use of that password. So it's important to understand that passwords won't go away. So things like, you know, your fingerprint IDs or your face IDs, they're really helpful because they're a layer in front of the password before you access the application or a website. There's also this idea of two-factor and also multi-factor authentication. People these days, I think, are quite familiar with two-factor authentication, especially when they do something like their internet banking. So in other words, they validate themselves with a username and a password, and usually when they're about to withdraw money or transfer some money, they then have to respond with another code that's sent to them via the bank, via SMS or something like that. And it just adds that extra layer of security and allows the person to validate or identify themselves before doing something important online. Multi-factor authentication adds extra layers, and it's becoming increasingly important within the context of business, because it allows individuals to really identify who they are beyond a password. So multi-factor authentication would look at multiple factors that might identify a person before they get access to a system. And that can just be simple as identifying where they're located at the moment. So what's their geographical location? Because that can be picked up on something like your mobile phone or your laptop, for instance. Looking at, you know, the factor authentication, which might come in via an SMS, but then also looking at other factors which might be biometric, like your fingerprint and also your face ID. So when you combine these factors, these multiple factors, then it becomes a really powerful means by which someone can identify themselves, and they're not just using one means like a password. So we're starting to see that sort of security be demanded within business now, and I think as that becomes the norm, you'll probably see that translate across into personal use as well. So having these multiple factors which are unique to yourself beyond just a password is definitely the way of the future that we're seeing.
Interesting. I think for people listening, especially the time of year that we're putting this episode out, spring cleaning, getting things organized for 2021, actually setting up a password manager is probably something people should put on their to-do list. Updating their passwords obviously is second to that as well, and actually making sure that you have security across the whole board, and having these unique passwords per account is something I stress about. But now that we've got passphrases added into that, I think we've all got some homework to do. But Lindsay, I wanted to ask a bunch of questions that we ask everybody else that comes on the show, and these are really about you, not so much about LastPass anymore. But the first one is interesting, actually, in regards to what you do. But what's your favorite app to keep you organized?
Favorite app to keep me organized? It's not that exciting, to be honest. What I use is I use OneNote. That's the means by which I keep myself organized, and it's more how I organize my notes that keeps me organized. And so what I mean by that is I have just some really general topics. I have one particular notepad which is called my MITs, which are my most important things. And I usually sort of store, you know, what are the most important things I need to do for the day. And then the other thing I do with OneNote is I just store files based on a person's name. So if I've got to do something with a particular person, I'll put that in that note, and then it's an easy reference point for me.
It's a good idea. I actually love that acronym too of MIT. I haven't heard that one before. And Lindsay, what would be your favorite social media app?
I'm probably an anti-social media person, if you like. I really like to separate myself from, I guess, you know, what I do at work. I'm quite active on social media at work, and so I do a lot of LinkedIn and all that kind of stuff to really promote the business and, you know, share thought leadership and so on. When it comes to my personal life, I actually don't have a Facebook account. I don't have a whatever other account. I tend just to like to spend my time with family and friends, and I'm into my sports. I still play competitive sports myself, but I actually prefer to unplug, to be honest. So I'm not really a big social media user.
No, not a bad thing at all. So I guess the third question here is when you have 5 minutes to spare between meetings, what's the first thing that you want to do on your phone? But do tell if it's something different.
First thing I usually like to do on my phone is, rather than check the social media stuff, I'm actually into looking at stocks. So I like to invest. So I use the simple Apple stock ticker, and that keeps me up to date in terms of what's going on within business. And that's usually the first protocol I go to.
Fair call. And do you wear a smartwatch or a traditional timepiece?
I've never got it. I've tried several times. So I had an Apple Watch previously, and I tried that for a few months, and then I had a Fitbit, and I was, you know, measuring my steps and my heartbeat and all that kind of stuff. But I just can't get used to wearing a wearable. So I think it's just me. I watches and so on, they go on and off my wrist, but I just don't feel comfortable wearing them. I think it's just more of a personal thing. So I don't have a favorite wearable. I don't really use them.
No, all good. And when we used to jump on planes and fly around the place, were you a user of the in-flight entertainment system, or would you bring your own device?
I'd do a bit of both. So I would use the laptop when I needed to get some work done. So it was a great time to catch up on email and so on, right? We know we always get completely smashed by the amount of email we have, and, you know, getting onto a plane and so on was a means by which I could get on, get the email done, and then send things when I got off. And then it was just good personal time as well. So it's a great time to catch up. I'd love to catch up on the movies, that sort of thing. It was a good time to tune out. So it was a nice balanced effort, I think, on my behalf.
No, that's true. That's true. And you mentioned how you like to switch off. My sixth question here is, what do you love to do to disconnect? You mentioned you play sports. What kind of sports do you play?
Love football. So football and soccer is my passion. So I still play every week. My son plays as well. We get out there and do practice. And so if we're not watching the EPL on the TV, then we're usually out the backyard or up the oval doing something and keeping active.
I love that. I love that. And look, the show is called Technology Uncorked. We have our interview episodes like this one today. And on Thursdays, we also release a news and reviews episode where we just talk about the tech news of the week. And I usually do that over a bottle of wine or a glass of wine, I should say. I never get through the whole bottle. That's crazy. But if we were sitting down, Lindsay, for a drink, whether it's alcoholic or not, what would be your go-to?
For me, I love, I mean, I must say I do love all colours of wine.
Yep.
So, you know, I usually start with a white and I like to finish on a red. So, you know, a nice Chardonnay is good. And then, you know, moving to something like a Shiraz is quite nice as well.
Do you have a favourite Chardonnay at all? I've been starting to get back into those actually.
So the one which I had recently, actually just last night at my family Christmas party, was a Pepper Tree single vineyard Chardonnay, and it was beautiful. Nice. Very nice. Nice.
All right, I'm putting it on the list. I'll put it on the list, and if we ever do get the chance to catch up in person, I'll try and remember that as well.
Nice one.
Lindsay, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Really appreciate it.